there we go. So if you're a spiritual person and you understand that principle, then of course you're going to want to say the Hamotzi beforehand, right? Because it's an opportunity to actually elevate yourself and elevate the meal. But after the meal, you don't feel that desire anymore. There's nothing actually to resist anymore. And you feel satisfied. So the tendency is actually to take the meal for granted, right? You're not having that desire for it. So it's kind of gone out of your mind. So there's sort of a deeper principle at play here. In the first case, the principle is disidentifying from your intense desire for something. And in the second instance, it's remembering the blessing that you don't really even want anymore because you're satisfied already. Right? So it says in the blessing, ve'achalte v'savata, you eat and you're satisfied. And once you're satisfied, the tendency is to take it for granted, to not think about it anymore, and walk away. So, but then it says, uveirachta et Hashem Elohecha, to actually offer thanks for that which doesn't seem so great anymore. So this is actually a more fundamental principle of gratitude, because in this moment, we are all actually satisfied with many, many blessings that we're not even necessarily aware of, unless we deliberately become aware of them, right? So what are these blessings that we're receiving right now and satisfied with? Blessing of breathing. The blessing, first of all, of being in a relatively like safe space right now. You're all in your homes, you're where you are, you're in a comfortable space, your bodies are working, right? Your body's not torturing you, right? You have this general sense of the blessing of being alive and being in this body. But to actually appreciate that takes a deliberate effort, right? So in our Psalm 27, where we looked at the three descriptions of Hashem, the first one was Uri, the second one was Yishi, my light and my salvation, and then the last one was Ma'oz Chayai, the strength of my life. And so this is the level of receiving the blessing of that which is already there, the blessings that are constantly coming upon us. And the most simple activity you can do to remind yourself of that, and to bring yourself to a state of connection with the blessing that's already there, is this Mode ani lefenecha, when you wake up, right? Shehechazarta b'nishmati bechem lo, you've returned my consciousness to me with compassion. Even though it's said in the morning, at any moment, this gratitude can be evoked of the blessing of the strength of your life that's already here. Okay, so that's for the good stuff. That's for the good stuff. I'm going to put this little piece away. Okay. Someone like to read this verse, maybe in the English? This is a little piece. This is actually the end of Psalm 30. Can you see that okay? Yeah, sure, Gloria.
I can't get the full, but I'll try. Helper, Chazan, from the Chazan. You have changed for me my lament. You undid my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. It's blocked off that neck. Oh, so that I might make music to you and not be stilled. Hashem, my... The word's not there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why it's not working. How about now? Can you see it?
Well... I don't know what comes after my. Will I thank you? My rock?
Okay, I'll chime in here then. So in the beginning it says, Hafachta mispedi lamacholi. And hafachta means that you have changed. We could also say you have transformed. Okay, something is, so this is already when it says you have changed. This is gratitude for, not for something that's already here, but this is noticing that something is changing from one thing to another. What's being changed? Mispedi, my lament, my sorrow, my suffering, lamacho, into dancing, right? So sorrow is being transformed into happiness. So how does sorrow get transformed into happiness? Maybe let's do an exercise just for a moment. And take a moment to recall something that's actually disturbing to you. So it might be something that happened in the past that brings up some kind of negativity, or it might be something right now, current in your life, that is something that's unhappy to you. And just bring that to mind. And as you bring it to mind, I want you to notice what happens in your field of experience in this moment. So you're just really trying to just notice what is it that actually happens in your experience when you bring to mind that negative thing. Nancy, do you want to give us a little report, a little description of what happens when you do that?
Well, it just it makes me feel sad, and it kind of makes me feel a little like shut down. Like I have these walls come up, and you know, just low energy, and I get like a lump in my throat.
Now I want to go into that a little bit. So, out of those three things, you said three things. I think what I heard is three things. Number one is that there's a feeling of sadness. Number two, that there's a sense of shutting down, of walls coming up. And number three, there's a feeling of a lump in the throat. And that last thing that you said was actually a physical sensation. So I want to point to that for a minute, that there's a thought you have in your mind actually creates a physical sensation in your body. And I'd like you to see if you can to go back to the first thing you said, which is a feeling of sadness, and see if you can locate that in your body. Is there more of, instead of just saying the word sadness like it's a word that refers to an emotion, how does that emotion actually feel when it manifests for you?
I feel like a heaviness, like in my chest, my heart feels a heaviness. Mm-hmm. I'm not breathing is, but my breathing's very shallow, so.
Right. And this is a common thing that in the chest and in the belly, often this is where emotion is felt. This is where feeling comes. Usually we don't feel it like in our pinky or something, right? Yeah. You feel it in the heart, you feel it in the belly, in this area. And those walls coming up is a natural defense against the feeling of something that's unpleasant, right? Mm-hmm. It's natural to not want to feel bad. And so the same, on that same level of feeling feelings, we also have defenses against the feelings. So we can sort of feel a blockage into existence so that we don't have to feel the intensity of that unpleasantness. And then you also describe that the breathing becomes a little short, and the lump in the throat, those are all kinds of blockage feelings, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I meant to say blockage descriptions, right? So this is what I want to suggest. And even though I'm talking to Nancy, you know, the invitation is that everybody is doing this, right? So as you're bringing up this feeling, I want you to be conscious of the of the tendency to block, to shut down, and instead intentionally invite the sadness in, intentionally welcome it, and just allow yourself to feel it fully for a few moments. We're not going to stay here too long, but just for a few moments, allowing yourself to feel it fully. Okay, thank you. When you do that, when you allow yourself to feel the sadness fully, it may be that that's not particularly a good feeling, but can you feel how that openness to the sadness or to the anger or to the fear or whatever it is, can you sense how that openness itself is a positive thing? Is a way in which you're brought out of the actual thought that brought up the sadness in the first place and brought into a connection with the present moment. Yes, there's sadness in the present moment, but can you feel a sense of those, of the constrictedness, the lump, the walls, and so on, being let go, so that you can kind of be willing to be with whatever it is, whatever these feelings are that's coming, and connect to the present in that way. I see the Gloria's nodding. Do you guys have a sense of that? Does anybody want to say anything about that? Yeah.
Well, it's also I felt the sadness about the situation. And if I get into it, definitely, because at first I'm so constricted with it and like the same feelings of building the wall. But then I really got in touch with, first it was like tears needed to be, were welling up. Mm-hmm. And that would be a release. This is so good because we don't allow ourselves to feel, to cry, to right. feel, to let go of that. Or at least, and that's so, it's an amazing thing to be able to cry. Sometimes you can't, but you, if you went into it, and that's the gift of being having that release. And then under that, and then you realize under those layers is, for me, it was anger. There's a lot of anger, mm-hmm. which they kind of say depression is masked anger anyway. So, you know, you get to a deeper levels of what's really there, and hopefully an awareness and an acceptance and a release of that too. And that's so healthy. Then I'm, you know, maybe I wouldn't react as much if I, it's like an exercise, almost like meditation, that I would be able to let go of this reaction I have to this person or this situation that's in my life by just hopefully releasing it and going deeper with it instead of defending against it.
You know. Right, right, exactly. Yeah, I want to look again at the song for this, for connection with this. Here we go. Oops, wrong song. Okay. Can you all see that? Okay, good. So if we look at the first line again, it says Hashem Uri V'Yishi. Now, as you know, the purpose of light from the point of view of our utilization of light, part of the purpose anyway, is for us to be able to navigate, for us to be able to see what's happening around us, right? So in a sense, when you're allowing your suffering, allowing your pain, anger, sadness, to actually be like a light that orients you towards the present moment, then there's a transformation that can take place there, where the very thing that was being resisted, the thing that's being perceived as a curse, is actually a gift, is actually a blessing, because it is the point, it is the exact point in your field of experience in the present moment that is sticking out. And as long as you're resisting it, then it's just an annoyance. It's just something that's bothering you that you're trying to get past. But as soon as you use it to actually bring you into the moment, then it becomes a blessing. And at that point, then we move past Ma'oz Chayai, the strength of my life. We move past the things that are obvious blessings. And now we're beginning to include the things that we thought were curses are actually also blessings as well. Why? Because they are part of Uri. They are part of my light. They are the light that helps to orient us constantly to come into this moment. So we have this duality, this dual practice now. On one hand, calling to mind the blessings that we're receiving to give thanks for, and on the other hand, inviting the things that we don't want to give thanks for that are actually disruptive, suffering, but allowing those things to bring us into the blessing of the present moment. There's a few verses in the psalm also that I think are kind of hinting at that. If you look at verse 4, it says, "Im tachane alai machane lo yira libi." Though hosts, meaning like an army, should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. You see, meaning the host of the army is the host of feelings, the host of experiences that arise that feel like enemies, that feel disruptive. But then it says, lo yira libi, my heart shall not fear. Instead, I shall open myself to those things and discover that they're actually a blessing when I use them in that way to remind me and help me to open to what's present in the moment. Another little hint here is in verse 6, where it says, Ve'ata yarum roshi. And now, right, ata in this case doesn't mean you, it means now, like in our practice that we do, atahu, right? So it says, and now, in the present moment, Yarum Roshi, my head is lifted up, meaning that there's a sense of yourself as the presence that's transcendent of whatever particular experience you're happening. But as long as you're fighting against the experience, then you can't feel the transcendent, you can't be free from it because you're fighting against it. You're trying to block it out. But as soon as you open to it completely and then turn your attention to the awareness itself, and you'll see that the awareness is just this openness within which your feelings happen, but they are transcends much larger than the feelings you're having. Here's another one, verse 8. It says, Amar libi, my heart said, Bakshu fanai, seek my face, seek my presence. Such a beautiful verse. Amar libi bakshu fanai. My heart is saying, so if my heart means my feelings, okay? And it's as if my heart is saying, seek my presence. But before that, in the beginning of the verse, it says lecha, right? This is also part of our practice to touch your heart and say lecha. So the idea here is that your heart is actually speaking on behalf of God, right? Your feelings are, just like everything, are manifestations of the one reality. And so when you have a feeling, then it's as if your heart is speaking to you saying, seek my face, meaning seek God's face in the feeling itself. And then it says, et panecha, your face, meaning talking to Hashem, talking to reality existent, Avakesh, I shall seek. This is how you seek God's face, not by trying to shut out your feelings so that you can think about godly stuff, but by actually opening to your feelings completely and then discovering the face of God in those feelings as a bracha, as a blessing. Okay, so we have two levels of blessing now. The first is the obvious level. Thank God, I'm breathing, I'm alive. Here I am, I'm safe. So many blessings. We're not starving to death, right? The second level of blessing is, oh my God, even my suffering is actually a blessing because it brings me into this moment. And now let's go to the third level. Third level is Yishi. We're going back to the first line, God is my light and my salvation. Why salvation? Why salvation? Oh. Yeah.
Presence is always there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always there.
What are you being saved from?
Myself, my own evil inclination, my ego.
Uh-huh. And you might say that. I mean,
nobody else can hurt me because, well, it's my perception, you know, and if I know that I'm always protected in the end, my, you know, the presence is there, is reliable. To me, the ocean is like presence because I go to the ocean and the way it's always there. It's just,
right.
You know, I mean, I always feel that I go for my walk to the ocean every day and I feel so comforted, you know, so that the presence is, it's you can count on it anyway.
Yeah, it's always there because no matter what experience you're having, of course, there is the awareness that's having the experience. So behind every experience, this awareness is always there. And when you open yourself to whatever is in your experience, that's the level of Uri, right? Then you discover Yishi, you discover the salvation from being in conflict, from being in some kind of dissatisfied, disrupted, not whole, seeking kind of place. So rather than seeking wholeness by getting away from a certain feeling, a certain experience, or seeking wholeness by trying to get some kind of experience, rather, you seek the wholeness in the experience that you're already having. Why? Because in the experience you're already having is the presence of the experiencer, is the presence of the awareness that is already whole, that's already spacious. There's nothing wrong with it. It's already, right? It's already perfect. So Hashem is Yishi, but the problem is that we have this impulse to seek. And that's also necessary because our body is programmed to seek food when we're hungry, right? To seek shelter if we're in danger. Those are all fine things. That on that level, that's completely true. But on the spiritual level, the level of consciousness, we have to reverse our normal tendency to seek the wholeness outside of what is and create something new or find something new and instead seek that wholeness within that which already is. That's a fundamental reversal of our relationship to reality. That's the core essence of spiritual work. It's a total reversal. It's completely counterintuitive and yet it's also effortless. You know, it just takes an instant to do it. All it is just openness to what is in this moment. And so this is also expressed so beautifully in verse 4. Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem. One thing I ask of God. See, we're throwing away all the different prayers now on this level. And on a different level, we can have all those different prayers. But on this fundamental core level, we're throwing away all the prayers for all the different things that we want and need. And we're saying, no, it's just one thing. And one thing that we're asking, Ota Avakesh, this is what I am seeking. What am I seeking? Shivti Bevet Hashem, to dwell in the house of, and we can, let's not say Hashem, let's say existence, let's say being, to dwell in this house of being. And what is the house of being? Everything is the house of being. right? A house implies there's like an inside and an outside. You're inside the house, and then out there is outside the house. But when we talk about the house of being, as soon as you begin to seek it and become aware of it, then there's no longer an outside and there's no longer an inside, because everything happens in the context of your awareness. The moment that you disconnect from presence, then there's an inside and an outside. There's your experience of this moment, and there's the sense or the imagination of something else that you're seeking or aiming toward or wishing for or afraid of, and so on and so forth. And that's called duality, right? That's the duality that consciousness normally dwells in when it's involved in the activity of the mind. But Ota Avakesh, this I seek, Shifti Bevet Hashem, to dwell where everything is always dwelling, just to be here. Okay? Kol Yemei Chayai, all the days of my life, meaning that this is a constant practice. You don't need any props. You don't need to do it at any special time of the day. You don't need anything to practice this other than the awareness that you are able to practice it, right? Lachazot benoam Hashem, and to be aware of the sweetness of being. There's a sweetness that's already there, right? And to be kind of drinking that in. Ulevaker beheichalo. And what are we going to do there? We're going to meditate in that sanctuary. Then life becomes a meditation. Kol yemei chayai ulevaker beheichalo. The unfolding of life becomes like a meditation. So let's sing a little bit. It's beautiful words in verse 4. So this, the way it's written here on your screen, it says Achat She'alti Me'et Hashem four times. So let's do that. You can also do this, and I put this on the video that I sent you recently. I put a version of it where instead of doing it four times, you just run through the whole thing. So we could actually do it both ways. We have a few more minutes. Let's chant it with each of the verses doing four times, and then we'll put it together. Achat She'alti Me'et Hashem. Achat She'alti Me'et Hashem. Achat She'alti Me'et Hashem. Achat She'alti Me'et Hashem. Ota Avakesh Shivti Bevet 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 Hashem. Kol Yemei Chayai Lachazot Benoam Hashem. Kol Yemei Chayai Lachazot Benoam Hashem. Kol Yemei Chayai Lachazot Benoam Hashem. Ulevake beheichalo. Only one thing I ask of you, O Lord. Only one thing I ask of you, O Lord. That I should dwell in your house, Hashem. Dwell in your house all the days of my life. Let's do the Hebrew one more time, just running through all the lines in one verse. Achat She'alti Me'et Hashem. O ta'avakesh shivti beveit Hashem. Kol yemei chayai lachazot b'noam Hashem. Ulevaker be'eichalot. Kaveh el Hashem. The word kaveh can mean hope. It also can mean wait. So waiting, meaning you're not going to leave. You're going to stay and wait. And this is so important too, because when you engage in this way that we're speaking about, opening to the fullness of this moment, you may feel an absorption the texture of what's going on in the moment may be so powerful that you don't yet have the sense of the spaciousness within which the experience is happening that we're talking about. This can take practice. You know, for some people, it can take years of practice, right? For some people, it's very quick, and for many, it's sporadic, you know, and you remember sometimes, sometimes you don't, sometimes you remember, but then you get overwhelmed by the feelings you're feeling, and so you may not be able to persist, right? So it's really important to have this idea of kaveh, that you're not going to split, right? You're not going to leave the practice just because it's not giving you what you want yet. And so this is the promise that spiritual liberation is a reality, even if you're not fully getting that for yourself yet. That takes a certain type of commitment to the practice, to keep at it, to keep practicing presence, to keep with whatever your daily practices are in order to allow it to unfold in its own time. There's an element of trust. There's an element of hope. Not hope in the meaning, in the sense of grasping, but hope in the sense of waiting, that you're patient and that you are allowing it to unfold in its own way. So that's kaveh. And that's why it says, chazak v'yametz libecha. Chazak means be strong, v'yametz libecha, and your heart will be strengthened, meaning you put in the strength of commitment, and then extra strength will manifest within you. That's the promise. Kave, kave, kave el Hashem, kave, kave, kave el Hashem, kave el Hashem, chazak v'yametz libecha, v'kave el Hashem. Kave, kave, kave el Hashem. Kave, kave, kave el Hashem. Kave el Hashem. Chazak v'yametz libecha, kave el Hashem. Kave, kave, kave el Hashem, kave, kave, kave el Hashem, kave el Hashem, chazak v'yamet libecha, kave el Hashem, kave el Hashem, chazak v'yamet libecha, kave el Hashem. All blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining me on this webinar. And I look forward to seeing you all soon. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Be well.